This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
Did it? Yeah, I guess I did. You got me.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is Something Going On in the Clock Tower. We also talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
My voice cracked in 12 different ways I did not intend for it.
And then I cackled, so there we go.
It all works well. It all works well. Hey, Anne-Marie, for our video viewers, which if you're not familiar, or if you don't know, we usually record this live on Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. EST. Over on YouTube and Google Plus and whatnot. So there's video.
There's video.
But Anne-Marie, show our video viewers your greetings.
Can you take down the big giant storybook thing?
I guess.
Let's see, there we go.
Okay, yeah, and here's the Greetings from Storybrooke t-shirt, everybody. I have one on too.
Yay!
If I can show you here. We got them.
I feel like I'm from last season because I'm in the green. I'm like, it's like the Emerald City.
You're repping Oz. Oz/Pan there. And I'm in the red, which is representing Evil Regals, we'll say.
There we go.
Okay, and as usual, we have a guest joining us this week to discuss the episode of Once Upon a Time. And it's he's been on a couple times. My old college roommate, Jason George. How you doing, JG?
I'm well. What's up?
Not too much. I forget. I always call you JG. I'm supposed to call you Jason. Bad Bill.
No, JG's fine.
JG's fine? Okay, well,
People still call me that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we will definitely call you... Actually, maybe we'll call you GJ, just to be different.
I can never do that.
Do it.
Okay.
Nope. Some people call me JJ.
JJ.
I think I called you Jeej back in college
sometimes. You did.
What's up, Jeej?
Not much.
Okay, Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and get us started with the rhyming episode summary, and then we'll start talking about this week's app.
In old Arendelle, three sisters are playing. One sister has powers the other sisters aren't saying. Back in town, Emma brings Ingrid back to the station to subject her to an interrogation. Ingrid's unfazed. She knows Emma's conflicted. The flow of her power is now unrestricted. People are hurt and Rumpel's still mean. Our cup freezeth over in this week's The Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen.
JG, overall, what did you think of The Snow Queen this week?
Pretty outstanding episode. The best part for me was the very final scene with Rumpelstiltskin and Ingrid.
Mm-hmm. The Snow Queen / Dairy Queen.
Yes, / Dairy Queen. I absolutely loved it. But I would wager that you have that somewhere in the lineup. So.
I think that comes up a little bit. There was like one tiny little important thing in that scene that we'll probably get to in our discussion.
A little bit.
Anne-Marie, what did you think of it overall?
I, like Emma, am conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
There's parts that I liked. There's parts that I didn't like. There's parts that I found extremely awkward and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things are moving. We're learning things. I like learning things. It's kind of, you know, what I do. So, yeah, I'm in the middle.
In the middle?
I'm in the middle.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And like JG, I'm actually over the moon about it. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, especially in comparison to the past couple weeks, I thought it was a lot better overall. I thought I actually enjoyed Elizabeth Mitchell's performance this week, which
I'm a huge fan of her. God, I'm a huge fan of her.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our listeners are. And I felt that because we just haven't been enjoying her performance at all. But
it's so dull to me.
But this week, I really dug her a lot more. She definitely jumped out and showed a lot more range. But, you know, we should probably go ahead and get started talking about it, because this was kind of her secret origin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everything okay, Anne-Marie, by the way?
I'm trying to figure out. They're asking somebody, is anyone else having a showcase thing on the side of their screen while watching the video?
A showcase thing?
I don't even know what that is. Amy, I don't know what that is. I'd love to see.
Yeah, I don't know what the showcase thing is. But it was the Dairy Queen's secret origin story and everything. And it was probably my favorite Frozen era flashback they've had for sure.
Absolutely, me too.
Did you have something else to add, JG?
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking over you. I'm being incredibly rude.
That's fine. I'm used to it from you, man. We go way back. You'd probably have to literally stab me for me to get offended. So.
I know this. I tell you what. Whenever you want me to speak, just like poke at me. You know, just prod me. You know, give me a cue, and I'll chime in.
I'll just say, Jage.
Yes.
Jade. Okay, but first of all, you know, they showed how the third sister died, which was incredibly tragic.
I was like, whoa, okay, I can deal with the turning to ice. But then the ice crumbled, like, mm-hmm. instantly. What is that?
Yeah, she just barely, like, grazed the cheek with her hand and just, like, instant crumble. Because at first I was like, oh, they're going to do a Marion thing, like they're doing with Marion, where she's kind of frozen solid.
No.
JG?
I know. Thank you. I know exactly what you mean on that. That's so definitive. That's so final. Like all of a sudden she just crumbles to nothing, you know?
Whereas if that thaws out, it's not going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, she's not like the T-1000. It's not like they're all going to come back together and just reform, you know what I mean? Like, Marion, there's hope that you can unthaw her, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no coming back from being frozen and then shattered.
No. Yeah.
Well, so you're right about that. It was incredibly final.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we thought the porcelain could come back, though, for being the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, but porcelain back together again. You can't glue unfrozen person back together again.
Right.
Multiple people have problems.
They're having problems.
Yes.
Let's see here. Excuse us, people who aren't watching live. We're looking here.
There's issues.
Okay, well, it seems like they're being able to see and everything okay.
I too. I thought Bill was promoting himself, which is why I think it's funny.
I'm not promoting myself. What is the showcase thing?
I don't know what the showcase thing is.
Okay, here's showcase.
What is that? Oh, so, are you showing that?
I guess I'm showing this or
something.
Make
it go away.
I want to turn this off.
Thanks for bearing with us, y'all. That's right. Okay. I've been in Georgia too long.
I'm not sure if I turned it off or not. I apologize for if there's a website or something coming up for people watching the video, the showcase. Hopefully, people can see us and everything. Okay. I hate that. All right. Well, we'll just go
anyway.
On. Okay. But anyway.
Anyway.
Luckily, that won't be as long and awkward for the recorded listeners.
No, because that will get cut.
But let's see here. Where was I going with that? Yeah. Super tragic. Basically, what was her name? Helga?
Gerda? I don't know. Which one are you talking about?
Gerda's the mom of Elsa and Anna, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Helga is the one who has turned into
the Helga ice. Slushy or the Helgarita.
The Helgarita.
The Helgarita.
Who's got the lines?
But I actually thought that Gerda's response was probably I'm not going to say even more unhealthy than the actual action, but I think for our characters anyway, I had a lot of unhealthy kind of results and everything, just because, you know, it's that kind of thing from the movie Frozen that we saw in Frozen with Elsa, conceal, don't feel, don't let them know, all that stuff. And we see that very prominently in her mom here. And she makes a lot of really kind of bad decisions because she doesn't want partially herself and then the kingdom to have to deal with the ramifications of what happened.
Yeah.
You know, the mind wipe with the rock trolls, I think, is completely over the line, even for this situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know we had talked a bit in the past couple episodes about, like, maybe there was a good justification for it, this, that, or the other. I didn't think this was a good justification. What did you think, Anne-Marie?
No, it felt like she just didn't want to deal with it. She didn't want – that was the problem, is she wanted to forget, and to make that happen, everyone had to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably partially wanted to forget putting her sister in an urn.
Yeah.
I mean, she sent her away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, Grandpappy was like, you know, there's still going to be a price.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've already paid the price. I'm like, no, no, you haven't. Nice try, though, sister.
That was the down payment.
Yeah. that was the, yeah.
But, you know, you can't necessarily put everything on her head, I guess. I think really Ingrid slash the Snow Queen, her action probably set everything into motion even more than Gerda's, which was the not trusting in the ribbon and the mm-hmm. sisterly love and everything to get her through right. and feeling like she needed the urn. And just because, you know, both of her sisters were immediately like,
we're
hey,
good.
Yeah, we're good. We're fine. You know, if you get out of control, we'll help bring you back.
Right.
And she was like, no, take the ribbon off immediately.
Well, even Rumpel said to her, the love of a... There's the quote. I write the quotes.
I write the quotes.
Is it love is free, but magic comes with a price?
Nope, that one we know. Sisterly love is okay. worth its weight in magic.
Yes.
Okay. Because it seems to me like 75% or something of all the problems that the characters have in the show all stem back to a bad decision they once made.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes. And I don't think this is any different at all.
No, you it's know, not.
It kind of goes right in with everything else. I mean, think mm-hmm. about that. You know, all the characters that in the present day, the reason why they're in this predicament is because somewhere along the line, they made a horrible decision about something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong there, but I don't think so. And I think this is the same way with her. I mean, what a total overreaction. You know, mm-hmm. granted, her sister did just crumple in front of her, but still, I mean, I thought that scene was almost a little like cliche because mm-hmm. I knew what she was going to say before she even said it.
Right.
Like, you're a monster, you know? In fact, I actually looked at my wife and I said that before she said it. I was like, no. She's a monster, you know, or whatever she said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, just play it cool. She didn't mean to do it. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. I know you're not going to do that. Then we wouldn't have a story.
by the same token, too, up until that point, like, Ingrid's family had been nothing but completely 150% supportive of her. Like, they helped her bury a body when she killed someone when she was, like,
they were, like, 10.
Right,
and
right.
Like,
they were like, no, it's fine. We'll help you cover up this murder.
This.
It's
We've
cool.
got this. Little six-year-old Olga or whatever is like, no, we got this, sister.
Like, yeah, but when you murder someone in the family, it's on, you know? It gets real all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you know, it's real in a hurry when your sister crumbles in front of your eyes.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. I don't know. In some ways, like her automatically going for the urn almost feels like retaliatory for, you know, losing faith in the sisterhood.
It probably was. I'm sure that was part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or just plain old fear too. I mean, you know, like, well, if I don't throw her in this urn, I'm next.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
But then again, I guess it's a common motif for people who lose control of their powers to have the people around them all of a sudden treat them differently.
And treat them like crap.
As we learned from this episode from The Modern.
Yes.
Right. Right. But then again, I don't know about that with Emma. When Emma started wigging out and, you know, everybody mm-hmm. – I don't think everybody around her was just like, oh, my God, Emma, you're a monster, you know. Because consider who you're talking about here. You're dealing, you know, Snow White. I mean, she's not going to do that. That would be completely out of her character for her to do that to Emma. You know what I mean? Like, that would not fly with me.
I will say that her actions probably definitely was what kind of pushed Emma over the edge, though. Like to where she listened to the Snow Queen.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even before the Snow Queen, well, just jumping around today, even before the Snow Queen got to her, Snow was treating her like that.
Mm-hmm. With the bottle.
With
and stuff,
the bottle,
right?
And they're all staring at her, but, you know, Snow's mm-hmm. like holding baby Neil closer to her, like, yeah, you don't need to babysit. I got this.
You know what? I do have a very interesting theory on this.
Share
way
with you.
Later in the notes.
Way later in the notes.
So we're going to save it for a little bit later. But you wanted to touch base a little bit on the
candle.
The candle.
Candle was elvish. Mm-hmm. Have we heard anything about elves?
Well, I think they were talking about those Tharthark. Or Thathar, the runes that Michael Lucero pointed out to us.
They said, this is elvish.
Mm-hmm. I believe when Michael
runes and elvish are different.
I think Michael mentioned those when he was telling us about the runes in one of his letters or voicemails or something about Tolkien from Lord of the Rings using those runes to create the elvish script and everything.
Right, but, and that's where my mind automatically goes when you think elves, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are so many different types of elves, you know. But with something like this, Lord of the Rings stuff, you know, that fits better than, like, Santa Claus elves or, like, the elves that make the shoes at night, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then also I think that might not work so well in this type of story, whereas the elves that make the shoes would,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm rambling, but elves are like, there are so many different types of elves in these stories. Who knows? You know,
I would like to see a Christmas episode of Once Upon a Time featuring Santa Claus. That'd
be
cool.
Fantastic.
I mean, that might be coming to mind just because we found out we're getting a Doctor Who Christmas special with Santa Claus in it.
Right.
But
shocking.
It would work.
But the thing is, if it was runes, Elsa knew how to read runes.
Mm-hmm.
Elsa didn't know how to read this Elvish, and Belle had it translated.
Oh, had the translation.
See, this is why I'm saying it was different, but I wasn't able to say that.
Sorry. You know how I am. I have to keep talking, or I'll completely forget what I'm saying.
I know, and that's why I let you go, even though you're wrong. Also, the thing is, though, where did the candle come from? Was it hiding in the library?
I don't know.
Random things keep appearing, and amazingly, Belle has it. Belle has this. Belle has that. I don't know.
Well, the library does have some magical stuff stored in it, though, because, I mean, that's where Maleficent was.
I was about to say, like, Maleficent?
Yeah. Or the mirror this episode, for example.
Well, the whole town is a treasure trove of magical wonders. Even of magical characters. I mean, really, all of a sudden, people just started noticing Ingrid? I mean, think about it. You know, these people just and these things just keep popping up. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I'm. We'll have some more news or some more announcements in our news section. But there's going to be another character, I guess, probably popping up too. And even our preview for next week. It looks like there's even another character hiding in Storybrooke somewhere.
Yay! So excited.
Terrific.
It'll be good. It'll be good. But let's see here. One of the magical items that you could probably have found in the library back before episode one was the book.
The book.
And JG, you want to reveal on that, right?
Oh, big time. To me, that's the big thing of this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might be completely wrong on this, but to me, the big reveal of this season has to be the author of that book. That to me, that's the most interesting part of the entire story so far. Never mind the Snow Queen, never mind Elsa. They're cool, they're fine, that story is interesting. But every time they go to talk about that book, I'm a little bit more interested.
Unfortunately, they always go to talk about it, and then they go away from it. They have, like, one line, and then it goes into, I don't know, Robin and Regina making out or something.
Right. It's like, and what are you going to find out about the book, Henry, at the store? Oh, nothing. I'm just going to go, you know, polish this furniture. You know, like, in this really nice suit, which I find weird, but whatever. I'm just going to use you to, like, do the chores around here and keep the place clean, but you better dress nice, you know?
Do you have any theories, JG, on who might have written the book? I know we've had some that we've discussed, but...
Okay, I don't have a theory on who wrote the book, but I do really hope that it somehow brings back August. And people have said to me, you know, well, that can't be. He's turned back into a boy or whatever. And I'm like, have you not watched this show at all? like it's every...
Anything can happen.
Like, it's like the old thing, like when I used to play Dungeons and Dragons and I was the DM, and someone would say, well, how could that work? I go, it's magic.
Magic.
I'm like, don't feed me this. Oh, well, he's back to being a kid again or what. I'm like, so what? Like,
yeah, all the writers have to do is write a no longer a kid potion, and boom, done.
Yeah, right. I'm sure Rumpelstiltskin's got a potion that does that for you.
Yes,
right.
You know what already I mean? Like
pre-designed and everything.
So I. Well,
speaking
I
have, of oh, wait, sorry, JG. Speaking of Rumpelstiltskin, I think I saw him coming what? Down the way right now.
What? Oh, Rumpel.
Where is he?
Rumpel,
where is he?
Where are you?
Oh wait!
Oh,
no,
that's the
hold
wrong
on. Wait
one.
A second. He's not here yet.
He's not here yet.
He's not here yet. Wait, Rumpel.
No,
still nothing. Okay.
This is what happens when Bill tries to play with special effects for those watching live.
Rumpel will be along shortly. Sorry, JG. Go ahead and continue your point.
Not a problem. Being that I'm just on the audio and I have no idea. You sounded kind of crazy right there.
He's always sounded crazy. You know that.
That's kind of the point.
Well. That's but that's okay. No, I was just saying that I hope that it brings back August because he was one of my favorite characters in the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved the guy and he's the one that I mean he had the book, you know. He was the one that like, you know, he was messing with it with the pages and all this stuff. Like he's mm-hmm. tied to that book somehow, I would imagine.
Oh, I mean, you, would think, you know, because he right. repaired the book a little bit too.
Right. Mm-hmm. He you know, he had a closer tie to that book than any of the characters other than Henry who had it. Okay. So I think, you know, this is a prime time to give fans like me what I want and bring him back because he's awesome.
Hashtag bring back August. Hashtag do it for JG.
That's right. And do it for me because I don't have Twitter. I've told you this before. So get on there and hashtag that. Bring back August.
Hashtag it up, down, and backwards.
I love it.
Because
bring
JG
back
can.
That glorious neck beard. Bring him back.
Nice.
Okay. Well, what did you have something?
I was going to say, Hope's pointing out that we know that August isn't the author. Mm-hmm. Because Adam and Eddie had said it in an interview. But I don't think you're necessarily saying that you want him to be the author, right? You're just saying
you just want him connected to the solution.
No, he's not the author. I mean, no. I just want him brought back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
I want him part of the solution. Yes. I mean, this is the time to bring that guy back. He was too cool to do what they did to him. Unless the actor, you know, like – got some kind of movie deal that fizzled out and he was leaving the show. Like I saw no reason to do that. You know,
I actually heard that there was some sort of like sort of tension between him and other cast members, or he wasn't happy on the show or something.
Well,
but
he
that's
was
all
getting
conjecture.
The short end of the stick at that time.
Yeah, that's true too. Okay, let's see here. Before we continue on with our discussion, I wanted to point out just a couple things here real quick. Let's see here. First off, we had a guest post up on the blog at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com this week called Rumpelstiltskin's Good Intentions, A Case for Nuanced Villains. It was written by our constant listener, constant writer, Michael Lucero. And it's a really, really good, very detailed letter where he kind of talks about how, you know, a good villain is one that kind of believes he's right and, you know, isn't just there to cause havoc and make things bad and be evil. You know, that an interesting villain has a more nuanced sort of character. And there's already some really good discussion. Banton has a comment down there and stuff. But I highly recommend you go check that out at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And we also next week – we have a milestone episode coming up.
No.
Because this is episode 99, so that makes next week episode 100, which is insane.
That
like,
is
completely
so crazy.
Insane. Who knew we were ever going to have a 100th episode?
Seriously, we were recording in a garage at first.
Well, first
we were recording at the kitchen table with a little itty-bitty little
micro
thing.
Like digital recorder like you would use for like a lecture in college or something.
Are you going to cue the Jefferson song yet or what, man?
Moving on up.
Thank you.
To Storybrooke. Something like that. But yeah, 100th episode, November 17th. We're going to try and go live around 8:30 p.m. EST. Mm-hmm. It's a Monday night. It might be a couple minutes later just because it's a two-hour episode before. So
yeah.
We might need a couple more minutes prep time. But no later than like 8:45. It'll just be me and Anne-Marie, and we'll discuss the episode. And then we'll have a big Q&A with the chat afterwards, which will be super fun. But we also want you guys to leave voicemails for us, very specific ones. Anne-Marie, you want to outline this for people?
What am I doing? Oh, those. Okay, this is what we want you to call and leave us. How/when did you find the show? And by the show, we mean us, not once. What is your favorite part of the show? Again, our show, not once. I mean, we'll take your favorite part of once too, but really, this is very selfish. We want to know about us.
Yes.
Also, what could we improve? Please, constructive criticism. Please, we appreciate constructive criticism.
As long as it's constructive.
If you just get on there and go, you are horrible, we will not be airing that.
We do not accept destructive criticism.
No, no destructive.
And you can leave that as a voicemail at 424-274-2352, or you can email us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. And we only have a couple of these right now, so I'd really like to have a few more. So please, if you're you know, hemming, hawing, waiting to do it, go ahead, send it in. It'd be great. And we'll play all of those, and we'll have a big Q&A with the chat room, and it'll be a big, huge 100th episode. We'll wear our t-shirts again.
Of course. We may wash them. We may not. We may wash.
No, I'm not going to wash mine, for sure.
Yuck.
Okay, speaking of unwashed people, Will and Robin finally got a drink together in this week's episode.
After almost getting hit in the head with a dart.
Oh, but I love how he wasn't hitting any of the darts at all until Will Scarlet walked in and then right in there,
And then all of a sudden he wasn't drunk anymore. He was like instant buzzkill.
Now, JG, when you've guested before, I believe the first time you guested with us, it was for Wonderland. So what have you been thinking about Will so far this season?
I'm just curious, like, what's he doing? And are they going to bring the Queen of Hearts? Mm-hmm. into this? Well, because that's queen. Who he's pining over, right? I mean, that's what was her name?
The Red Queen, because the Queen of Hearts was
it was Cora. Anna.
Yes,
Anna, the Red Queen. Yeah,
okay, sorry. I'm kind of on the fence with him. I mean, I'm kind of wishy-washy with him. Like, I thought he was really cool in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what his purpose is going to be now in the regular show. Is he just going to be, like, the town drunk that, like, you know, Emma has to go and clean up his messes? Or, you know, he's there for a reason, and I don't think it's been revealed yet.
No.
Like, there's something more important going on.
They have said that they're going to shine more of a spotlight on him in the second half of the season, for sure. But it's interesting you bring up, you know, the Red Queen and everything, because there was actually a line in that scene between them that kind of indicated that something tragic might have happened.
Yeah, I had a really rough feeling about that.
Yeah, specifically, Will Scarlet said, sometimes even when you win, you lose. And the last time we saw him before this season, he had won.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They were rulers of Wonderland and a big happy ending. And so obviously he lost something after that.
Right. Right. Something's going on. Something happened there. And I, you know, I'm very curious as to what it is. And you know, like I said, he's got to be there for more reason than just to be the guy that, this is a little neat little subplot. You know, here's this drunk guy doing this over here.
Yeah.
You don't bring in that character from that show for no reason. And you said in the second half of the season that should be revealed. Do I understand that correctly, Bill?
Yeah. They said there's going to be more focus on him in the second season. So I would assume we'll get a reveal of what happened. I don't know if they've outright stated that or not. But one other thing that I thought was really interesting about that scene, and then I'll get you guys' points of view on it, is just I thought it was interesting that, you know, Will tells Robin this what Marion had told him, you know, way back in the day.
For the 30 billionth time or something.
well, this is when Will was telling Robin what Marion had said to him, like in a private conversation about why she loved Robin and why it was okay to be out, you know, a bandit and everything like that. And basically it boiled down to, if you have true love, you should fight for it. And I thought it was weird and kind of messed up and kind of funny. And I liked the way it ended up and everything, too. But it's still weird that Robin took that message from his frozen wife and was like, okay, I do need to fight for my true love. So let's go make out with Regina in the crypt.
Yes. It's still weird that she's hanging out in there.
I heard someone refer to her online today as the Royal Crypt Keeper.
Yes.
That's good. And I wonder if opinions of that are going to be split by gender. And what I mean is, I really, really, really like that Robin is going after Regina. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the female audience would side with Marion. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I'm not.
Emery, what do you think?
This female is not on Marion's side.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool.
Yeah, I'm not, because you could even tell from the second, like, he didn't really have that connection back with her, because he'd moved on. Mm-hmm. To him, she'd been dead for hundreds of years, basically.
Yeah.
And to her, he'd only been gone for, like, a day.
So, but props to him for trying.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'll give him that. Like, he was a good dude trying to do all that, but...
Yeah, I think really if it came down to it, and even it, say Marion, even if Marion does get unfrozen and comes out of it and everything, if she comes into this situation and she forces Robin to, like, give up on Regina forever,
I don't think that will happen.
Then she's kind of the jerk in that situation. I mean, this is very unusual circumstances,
yes,
obviously.
The entire thing's
time travel and everything.
Time travel, but, freezing things. Her heart is no longer in her chest. I think she will come out of it.
Yeah.
But I think she's going to come out of it and realize that she should move on.
Yeah. It's a hard situation, and it's nobody's fault.
No.
And everyone's going to end up being a jerk in some way to somebody in it. And it's just one of those difficult situations.
Basically.
But last season, I cheered so hard for Robin and Regina. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of my favorite things, because as we've discussed before, I'm a major fan of Regina, and like, whenever, like, my heart sank whenever it was like, oh, here's Marion. I was like, hello, Marion. I was like, no.
Yes.
Like I was actually ticked off. Like the show ended, and it, and you know, I remember looking at my wife, and I was like, I hate that. I hate that. And she's like, what? I'm like,
happy.
Marion, ruining everything, being alive.
Freaky like, maid Marion.
Yeah, you know, showing up and ruining everything.
How dare she live?
Because, who doesn't love a good redemption story? I mean, and it doesn't get much more evil than Regina. And here's the thing. Whenever she does something really, really nice, or she, like, does something heroic, I remember her having Graham's heart in her hand and crushing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the village she killed.
Yes.
Yeah, and that whole village she wiped out. Mm-hmm. You know, she's responsible for genocide. You know?
Yeah. A little bit.
It happens. But, I would like to mention that Hope in the chat here, and Hope has her fingers on the pulse of Tumblr, so I trust her opinion on this. She says it's split by ship. The Outlaw Queens loved it, and the people who want Robin and Marion together just were hugely furious. And she uses a less polite word than furious here.
Yes,
but we'll leave it
at that. In all reality, the absolute opposite of that happened at the season finale last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Great. So does this mean I'm an outlaw queen?
Yes.
You were very
welcome to a ship.
I think this entire podcast is outlaw queen.
Yes.
Probably. I would assume.
Man.
I just want to see more Robin Hood face.
Don't do that. This is why we can't get anybody from once on our show. You do things like that.
Because I make fun of them.
Yes. We love them.
But I make fun of the Gotham people, too.
We do.
They come on our Gotham show.
Right now, I'm really wishing I had video so I could see this Robin Hood face.
Yes, you may have to go back and download the YouTube.
YouTube.com/MeeksMixMedia if you want to catch the video, or just go to our show notes at greetingsfromstorybrook.com.
Because I'm sure that will be the thing.
Let's see here. Okay, you had a point about
villains. I had a point. You're pointing at me. Okay.
Point.
Have we not learned that no one should be left alone with a major villain?
Ever.
No one. I don't care who you're leaving with them. There has to be backup.
Seems like they could have just broke the windows. But I guess it was the sheriff's station.
No. So. It's because it was the magical ice. That's why they couldn't break it. Because, I mean, they were glass doors. They're like, she froze the locks. And I'm thinking to myself, you got something warm, you know, make a fire. But no, it's stop leaving people alone with the villains. That's when bad things happen.
Not a good idea.
No.
Not a good idea.
No. Also, she was captured way too easy, which is further reason why are you leaving her alone?
We're alone with a villain, Amory. Rumpelstiltskin's here again.
Oh,
no.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Rumpel.
Hi, Mr. Gold.
Don't hurt us. But let's see. Yeah, in the other point you had here, that she was captured way too easy.
She was captured, yes. That right there is a dead giveaway. Oh, you caught me.
Well, see,
First of all, that's how she acts the entire time.
So. I'm of the opinion that she let Emma catch her.
Yes. But I was like, that's not a...
I'm of the opinion that the candle didn't actually work.
So am I.
Yeah. Yeah. It just that Elsa, it didn't work on Elsa, and then...
So they're like, hey, let's just try this on her. It didn't work in practice rounds, but let's try it on the reality.
See, I thought my whole the Snow Queen letting her do it was going to be a more controversial opinion. I guess not.
No, because she was like...
No, Bill, that was obvious.
Yeah, it was really...
Okay. I'll just leave.
Jeez, I didn't mean to sound smug right there.
No, but it was awesome.
No, that's fine.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Charlie let her catch him.
because she
was able to, like, break the things off right away.
She's able to summon, like, monsters and stuff. And all of a sudden, Emma just, I got you.
Mm-hmm. I got you with a magical elvish candle.
Speaking of, when did she become such an expert with her magic? Because right before she got put into the urn, she was still having trouble controlling it.
Seriously, how does she know how to do all this? Like, what is the inside of the urn?
It must have been a very long trip from Arendelle to Misthaven, like when they finally go again, because she became an expert in ice magic.
20 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess she did have all that time in the real world, but
20 to 25 years to get out of the urn. Mm. But she had magic getting out of the urn, like controllable.
Well, I think the urns, like, subdued the magic, didn't it, to where it wouldn't work?
I don't know. I wasn't in the urn.
I believe.
I thought it was supposed to, but, like...
It did. It was totally obvious, Bill.
Totes obvious.
No, why is everybody always picking on me?
Because there's somebody to pick on you with.
Yeah, that's fair.
They should have done a good cop, bad cop. Okay, anyway. Next.
Next. Next, 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 next. Well, I think we already talked
about Henry
working in the shop. So I'll go ahead and move on to my next point, because I don't care what JG has to say, because he's been picking on me.
But I actually have something to say to that point.
Oh, did you want to?
I actually had something because I was distracted while you were talking about it earlier.
That's fine. Yeah, but JG had a point in here about he liked that Henry worked in the shop and that he seemed a little overdressed for Sweep. And I think you mentioned that earlier.
Yes,
JG.
We totally talked about that. But here's my thing. I think the reason that Rumpel is letting him in there is to keep an eye on him because he knows that boy can do something. Mm-hmm. He can get involved. And he's only letting him sweep and polish furniture and do stuff like that because he's controlling what that kid can touch.
Mm-hmm. Because, sure.
I mean, the kid took a book, stole a credit card, and ran to Boston.
Truth.
So the kid is more powerful than, you know, he may not have magic, but he has brain power sometimes.
I was half expecting Henry to come out of the back room when the Snow Queen and Gold were having their scene together or, like, overhear it or something.
But we don't know that he hasn't.
This is true.
You know what, though,
Emery? I actually kind of think that Henry will be revealed to have magic eventually.
I won't be surprised, yeah.
I mean, because, I mean...
Well, he has the heart of the truest believer, which is...
Exactly.
Kind of,
yeah.
Exactly. Bill finally said something right. No, I'm kidding. No, that was exactly what I was going to say, Bill, is that, you know, the whole heart of the truest believer and all that stuff. And, you know, he believes in the magic, you know.
Right.
There's going to be a reveal before the show is over with that Henry's got some kind of magic power, too, I think.
He'll become the new Dark One.
See,
calling it now.
I kind of wouldn't be surprised by something like that.
Well, I definitely think, and I guess we'll go ahead and move on to the next point here because it's kind of
right
applicable.
Along.
Moving on.
That would be awesome, by the way, if Henry in one season. Mm-hmm. That would be a great story arc. I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, but it
he plays evil really good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As a Panry last year.
Yeah.
For sure.
God love Panry.
It's kind of revealed what Rumpel's plans with the hat and everything are here, and that's he wants to take over the world, I guess, which is a small thing.
Try to take over the world.
JG actually IM'd me on Facebook earlier today. I was like, what are we going to do tonight, Henry? The same thing we do every night.
Yes.
Trying to take over the world.
But I think, yeah, Rumple's pretty much completely not even going to be redemptive at all anymore. He's completely leaning into evil old Rumple again. Like, completely. I even think he's over Belle.
He is over Belle.
Like, that.
It's very obvious.
That one line he had when they came in for his help and stuff, how could I turn down the pleas of my beloved wife? You could tell he was upset about the whole dagger thing from last week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just completely upset with her and just, like, trying not to, like, jump over the counter and get at her.
Right.
Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
It was so weird, though, just because I've never seen him act kind of, like, even off the line cruelly towards Belle.
Right.
And so it was kind of shocking, but kind of cool.
It was a nice turn.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice turn.
And one thing, and this is really a big question here that we should probably bring up.
Sure.
Okay, at the end, they make their deal. The Snow Queen's like, I can give you the little piece of information you need to accomplish your goal of taking over the world or whatever. And she whispers something into his ear. What do we think that was? I'll go ahead and ask JG first. JG, what do you think the Snow Queen whispered into his ear?
I don't know why I think this, but I think it has something to do with killing Hook.
See, it's funny because you're not in the dock, but that's exactly what I had. Because he seemed like so ready. He was like, yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Let's do that then.
I'll do that with pleasure, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. I hate the fact that she whispered it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Now, I understand what they're doing.
Yeah. You know.
Get you come back for more.
Pulling a Lost in Translation, but they're going to reveal.
It was almost like, I don't want to call it breaking the fourth wall, but it was like, there was no one else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't whispered any part of this conversation, but the thing that all the viewers at home want to know, I'm going to whisper.
Yeah.
I hated that. Like, I thought that was poorly done, poorly executed, in my opinion. There should have been, you know, there are other ways they could have said that she said something without it. All of a sudden, I'm going to whisper this one thing.
Maybe she didn't want the author of the book to hear.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay. fair enough.
Just playing devil's advocate, I think that sounds like complete bollocks.
I know, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that really bothered me. I was I was like, she, you know, there's no one else in the room. You're clearly talking about some evil mm-hmm. stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have not been secretive until... Well, I'll tell you, but I gotta whisper it to you.
Come a little closer, you know, honey.
Maybe. Someone might hear it, you know, like, what?
Maybe it's an idea. I mean, this is kind of tied into Rumpelstiltskin, too. But, you know, names and things like that and speaking words have power in this kind of
That's
world.
That's true.
So maybe it was some sort of situation where she said it out loud. She would have drained some of the power from whatever the statement was, or
that would be cool.
Or maybe it was just like a really lame, dramatic.
I know. Or it's like, please go to the 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. And you
right,
a Slurpee.
Right, right. Now I'm leaning in toward it being just the lame, you know, what they're doing, you know, to keep the suspense built among the audience. But I'm hoping that you are correct, that mm-hmm. there is some reason that she could not say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, because that just pleases me, because I just thought that was kind of poorly written.
Right.
You know, like I didn't buy that. I was like, stupid. I was like, just say it.
You know what I would buy, though? That little Storybrooke snow globe that Rumple had at the beginning.
Where can we get those?
At the beginning of that scene. And that also kind of reminded me of the scene from the first episode where he's watching Anna traveling.
Yes.
Traveling over to him. So I thought that was an interesting parallel for sure. Okay, Amory, you had some issues with snow.
I had many issues with snow. Stop being the crazy psycho first-time mom that you're being, because mm-hmm. you're not a first-time mom, but you're also just being crazy
mm-hmm.
and overprotective. Like, okay, this mm-hmm. is precious, the little mommy and me class.
Well, to be fair, that bottle was boiling.
The bottle was boiling, but it's not like she was boiling the baby. She wasn't going to boil a child. She wasn't going to boil a child.
That we know of.
Oh, come on.
Anne-Marie, where I see your point, on the other hand, it's a good thing you haven't seen me for the past 5 months with my new son. I'm kind of like her, but a dad.
see, but so, I've seen like, that.
And with
I don't
less,
know.
Slightly less magic, too.
Slightly.
Yeah, right. And I'm not magical. So
I
see your point, but I found it believable.
But she's,
you know, I believed it.
Garrett,
and I think I believed it because of my particular lot in life at the moment, you know, with being a new father.
Yeah, and you got her in, and they've touched on it a bit the past couple episodes too. She also has that guilt complex from what happened with Emma too, which is probably a lot more to do with it than even being a new mom.
Does, because I mean, she even says, "I want to give him everything." Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're basically you're sticking the knife in and twisting it more in Emma by saying things like that. But she goes on to yell at Emma.
Yes, that was
the bigger thing.
I will say, just keep in mind that both babies that Snow White has had have been snatched from her arms as soon as they were born, both of them. So she might have a right to be a little overprotective, just a little.
Yeah. I know, but she got them back.
Eventually.
Maybe 28 years or whatever.
But no, yelling at Emma was
horrible. Yeah. Like, she was she couldn't control her powers. That was very obvious that she wasn't trying to hurt her father or Hook. Those were the two that was coming at Hook, and Charming saved him and took the hit. And Snow
I'm glad you brought that up, Emery, because that's something that stuck out to me big time.
That was horrible. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
a protective yell or a watch out. Yeah, it was a scolding.
It was a scolding. She was scolding a 4-year-old.
It was discipline.
Yes, and it made me angry. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to go into the chat now after.
Well, another thing you said also stood out to me. I thought it was great. I actually mentioned this to my wife as well. The fact that Prince Charming shoved Hook out of the road, like I thought that was incredible because first of all, now Prince Charming is like your ultimate hero. Like he's always going to do what's right, always. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he did it to him, that was really, to me, that was like, it was almost like, you've made it, dude. You're in the club. You're one of us now. You know what I mean? Like,
you have dad's approval.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was going to let that fall on me to knock you out of the way. Like you're one of us now. I like that, you know, and I wondered, you know, did he do that because he is just an awesome hero or did he do that because this is the man my daughter's in love with? You know what I'm saying?
I can definitely see there being a scene in the next episode where, like, there's a thank you, there's a, hey, why don't we go fishing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we go
I'll take you out on
fish.
The boat.
Let's get some burrs. Can I point something out from the chat?
Sure.
Aaron said, I think Rumple has to kill or put Blue Fairy in the hat, who he hates second to Hook. That would make more sense than Hook. True dat.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Yeah. Like, I completely changed my answer now.
Yeah, like, I like that better. You that win, Aaron. Awesome. You win.
Okay, let's see here.
You win the podcast. That's it.
Aaron wins the podcast. Okay, one thing, you know, that whole interrogation scene was really interesting because, I mean, it was made even more obvious that, yeah, they really did have a history and they probably did like each other at one point, Emma and the Snow Queen. I'm wondering what could have happened that would have caused the Snow Queen, who was waiting for Emma or whatever, you know, have to mind wipe her. And what I'm thinking is, you remember Lily from a couple episodes back, right?
Mm-hmm. I think
she comes to the foster home looking for Emma. The Snow Queen gets threatened by her, kills her with the powers, and then has to mind wipe Emma so she can eventually not believe in magic, then believe in magic and become the savior because of whatever deal she made with Rumple to get to our Earth. That's my prediction.
That girl's more important than just, like, somebody that Emma knew once upon a time, though. I like the way I just used the title of the show.
That was good. That was good.
I didn't even mean to do that. But, her tattoo or whatever, like the mark on her and everything, you know.
Oh, yeah. We discussed that a bit, too. And like,
you did.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think that's noteworthy.
Yeah, I was definitely leaning that direction too, but when I started thinking today just about like what could have possibly happened in that foster home to where she would have had to mind wipe her, and I was thinking, you know, based on what they had set up already this season as far as what was important to young Emma, and really the only thing we've seen that was important to young Emma was that friend of hers, Lily.
Right.
So obviously, in my mind anyway, Lily's got to die.
She's coming back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the creators have said that character will definitely be back.
And so that makes a lot of sense.
Though. Just one thing I wanted to mention that I couldn't fit in anywhere else. I don't know if many people noticed, but this just might be something to watch out for that they might play with a little bit in a future episode, is that Emma got hit with an ice shard right in the neck. when they were having the fight in the clock tower. And whatchamacallit, and the Snow Queen even comments on it when she comes into the interrogation room. What I'm thinking, I know that the bottle scene happened before that, but I'm thinking that maybe something in that ice shard either prepped Emma to become one of the sisters or caused her powers to go kablawi.
That makes sense.
Ooh, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, because the Snow Queen even says you might want to have someone take a look at that when she comes in. So she obviously, she's very aware of what she did. And like, it seems like it was something purpose. That would come back into play.
Well, everything she does is on purpose. Mm-hmm. So...
very nice. I like it.
You had a point about mirrors.
So the mirrors kind of mirror each other a little bit. Like Regina's mirror and the Snow Queen's mirrors feel very similar. They have the same vibe, and they're both completely doused in dark magic.
And they both could have controlled Sydney at some point too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and that's weird that he traveled between them.
I wonder if there's like a mirror dimension. You know, where people can, because I know, like, say in DC Comics, there's a character called the Mirror Master who can travel through mirrors to different, you know, physical locations and stuff. A mirror dimension would be interesting. Actually, wasn't that Dream Dimension we saw a lot in season two?
Yeah.
Wasn't that connected to mirrors somehow, or weren't like the walls made of mirrors or something?
Yes. And then they all shattered.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So maybe that's the mirror dimension.
Wonder why we don't see anything about that whole sleeping curse, not sleeping because the fire pits of hell thing.
Probably because they
used that up.
Yeah, used it for all it was worth and everything.
Okay. Just saying, but, it's still there.
But, you know, really, I think we've used this discussion for all it's worth, too. So why don't we go ahead and we'll get to our arbitrary scale here. Let's see here. Okay. JG, out of 10 blueberry or blue raspberry slushies, how many blue raspberry slushies would you give this episode? Obviously, in honor of the fallen sister this episode. But how many blue raspberry slushies would you give this episode?
I'd say 7.5 blue raspberry slushies, maybe 8 on certain scenes.
Why is that?
7.5. Okay, I would go full on 8 for the last scene grabbed me. It hooked me because the whole Rumpelstiltskin wanting to take over the entire world, that opens up so much great storytelling in my mind. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like the fact that – because – I'm using this term, you know, in the realm of the fictional world, the real world. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
like Boston, you know, where Emma was, and New York City, and, you know, just, you know, wreaking havoc all over the real world, you know, being him. Because think about it, like, if his magic could operate elsewhere... He really could take over the world. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Right.
I mean, you know, he can manipulate people. He can kill people with a thought sometimes. I mean, like,
right.
You know, like Rumpel as president of the United States. Okay.
Vote
hey,
Rumpel
Lex
2016.
Luthor did it. That's right. Lex Luthor did it, right? So Rumpelstiltskin, I mean, seriously. So for that and 8. For the rest of the episode, 7.5.
Fair enough. Okay, Anne-Marie, out of 10 blueberry or blue raspberry slushies, how many blue raspberry slushies do you give this episode?
Oh, I'm going to give it about 7.
Why?
There were just parts that I found really annoying. Like, you know, I'm yelling at the TV, why is anybody leaving Emma alone with the evil villain?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Why was Elsa having a moment of depression to herself? I'll just sit here with the elvish and the candle. Go ahead. I'll be right here. We didn't even talk about that. Snow White making me want to slap her in the head. yeah. And to go on my usual fashion rants, why does Snow look all frumpy when the other two young mothers do not? Again, you didn't notice. I know.
I didn't
notice.
Hey, can I throw something out there, too, since we're talking about fashion?
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Do you think somebody could maybe loan Elsa some clothes?
Thank you!
Yes.
Thank you! Pet peeve number one.
Like, you don't like seriously, it's really, really driving me nuts. Like, the sequin gown everywhere. I'm like, no! You know, I mean, they finally caught on and got Hook some sort of looking normal clothes.
Right.
They still kind of looked like what he wore before, but I mean, I was like,
yes.
Dude, Hook, get out of that leather V-neck or whatever that is and like find something else.
And it's weird just because everybody else has so obviously a plethora of clothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're trying to get to your arbitrary scale. I can see it in your face.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just like, somebody give that girl a t-shirt or something.
Yes. Yes. Somebody, a hoodie and leggings. I don't care. It doesn't have to be cute.
Nice
it just
jumpsuit.
No jumpsuits. No, there isn't
a pair of sweatpants. I don't care. Just get her out of that gown for a while. Jeez.
In aerobics uniform, since, you know, that's probably all they have hanging around in the town since it was created in the 80s.
Wow.
That's all women wore in the 80s, right? Was aerobics uniforms?
We're going to walk away from that and ask what your
and shoulder pads.
Well, in that case, she'd have to have her bangs up all big, you know, too.
This is very true.
Teased hair, you know.
Okay, I would give it 9 blue raspberry slushies out
of
10.
Okay.
Yeah, because I really liked it. Like, it was – there were some parts that were weaker than others for sure. But this ticked off so many boxes in my what I want to see out of this season checkbox. It was insane.
Yeah.
There was the Will and Robin team up – or, you know, meeting, wow, rather. There was Henry working in the store. There was a decent flashback set in the Frozen universe.
That was cool.
We got some answers, some work, and we finally got a firm indication that Rumple's back on the side of the devils and that things are going to be really interesting with him. And he's the character that hooked me into the show. So the more
me too,
interesting,
Bill. Me too.
The more interesting things get with Rumple, the more interested I am in what's going on in the show. But thank you very much, JG,
yes,
for
so
joining
much
us tonight.
All right. You're very time welcome. Thank you for having me on your show again. It's always a blast. I love it.
Okay, we'll have you back on again soon, bud.
Totally.
Excellent,
bye,
man.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Okay. There we go. Okay.
And there he goes.
Okay, now let's talk about him since he won't be watching the live stream. I'm kidding. Okay, real quick before we get to the news, we want to thank Audible for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke. Now, if you don't know what Audible is, you can go there, you sign up for a membership, you get a credit a month to get an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what an audiobook is, you probably should.
Should.
But it's an
pretty
audio.
Obvious.
It's someone reading you a book, basically, and you can
it's
work
story
out.
Time.
You can walk, you can drive, you can make dinner, all while you're catching up on your reading. And Audible makes it really easy to do. You can use any smartphone, all sorts of DVD players, anything like that to listen to your audiobook. And they're also offering listeners of Greetings from Storybrooke a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we always like to give a suggestion for what book you might want to pick up. And usually we each give one individually, but this week we've decided to unify.
We're working together.
And offer one book. Amory, you want to tell us about it?
This book is As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, written by Carrie Elwes.
Elwes, I think.
Elwes.
Yeah, and he's actually the guy on the cover.
Oh.
Yeah, he was – I forget.
Oh.
I just blanked on the character's name, but he was the main character. He was the guy in the Zorro mask. But I actually just saw him on Kevin Pollak's chat show this past week where he was talking about this, and it sounds really, really cool. Like he went and he wrote down all of his remembrances, and then he sent the manuscript to pretty much everyone in the movie and everyone who worked on the movie, who all added their own stories.
Cool.
And in the audiobook version, they each narrate their own
sections,
anecdotes, like Christopher Guest, Norman Lear, Rob Reiner, everybody, Billy Crystal, everybody comes back and narrates.
Love.
And yeah, that was in this episode of Once, actually, which is very appropriate.
Yes.
So yeah, if you want to pick up As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, or any other book, it's really easy, and all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com.
Wesley, thank you, Bobby.
Audibletrial.com/Storybrooke for your free audiobook download. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Storybrooke for your free audiobook. And we want to thank Audible again for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke.
Thank you so much, Audible.
And now,
on to the news.
News. Okay, first up, the ratings here. And by the way, you'll be able to find links for all of these stories in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. The ratings, Once Upon a Time, it did 7.4 million, 2.5 share, and that means it ticked down about one-tenth. That was earlier today. Usually it adjusts up on Monday, but that's where we were, just down a tick,
down
just a
tick,
little bit, which is fine. Okay, let's see here. Next up is our we have our big double episode next week, Smash the Mirror, and we're going to go ahead and watch the promo for it. We don't usually play it on the show, but we'll describe it to you as we watch it. So
I'm sure this is the best part.
Yeah, here's magic. Henry. Emma blasts Henry with some magic.
Two-hour tale. She's getting rid of her magic somehow.
Emma's going to get rid of her magic forever and ever, and Rumple's going to help. And then we see, looks
Anna
like
throws Anna throws her snowflake necklace in the fire.
And going to see how she gets in the urn. And I have a feeling that we hear the sorcerer's voice in there.
Yeah.
Whoever the sorcerer might be. But yeah, it looks like a really, really, really intense episode. It'll be a good episode.
It's going to be really exciting.
I'm pretty pumped. Now, Anne-Marie, you wanted to mention real quick this Once Upon a Time workout you found, right?
Yes. Last night I was trolling Instagram, and one of the girls I follow, Storybook Beauty, she usually just does makeup tutorials and stuff is what I've noticed. But she posted a Once Upon a Time TV workout. So, like, do 10 jumping jacks whenever someone says Elsa. Do 10 high knees whenever someone says magic. Oh, my goodness, that would hurt. do 10 squats whenever someone says hook and crocodile, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to share that because I thought it was pretty cool. And I'll put a link to her Instagram and her website.
Definitely. And I like that too, just because it's like a drinking game, except you don't drink. You get healthy. Okay. And now people who are spoiler averse might want to skip ahead about a minute here. But we have some pretty big casting news for next half season here. It turns out the new villain who has been cast, I'll tell you the actress first. Let's see. What's her name here? Victoria Smurfit. Which sounds like Victoria Smurfette, which I think is really funny. She's not playing Smurfette.
Nope.
She's playing Cruella De Vil from 101 Dalmatians.
Cruella De Vil.
Now, they don't go into big detail about how big her role's necessarily going to be or how it's going to tie in or anything, but we do know that we've seen Pongo in Storybrooke before. Archie,
yes.
Dr. Hopper, has Pongo, so it should be interesting to see, and this will definitely be like the first like modern day mythology
kind of,
character
yeah.
that they've really brought in, which I think is really interesting.
Going with that, the actress actually revealed it.
Oh yeah, because
it was a thing. She
they just
really
announced that she had been cast, and then she tweeted out, "I can't wait to play Cruella De Vil."
Right, I think she got confused as to what she was allowed to actually post.
Oh, sorry. They already made the announcement, so I guess she's not going to be in too much trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. And last but not least, we got another announcement this week, and that's when the mid-season finale and when the new half season is going to start. Now, the mid-season finale is scheduled for December 14th, and then the show's going to come back on March 1st, which means we have almost 3 months off.
Yeah, well,
we'll get some
we've
more
done it before. We'll do it again.
We'll celebrate the holidays. We'll get some commentaries in.
Yes.
We still have to do our shirt commentaries, too.
We do have two shirt commentaries. We need to like put up a poll for that, by the way.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say in this last couple minutes left, I think we have about 5 or 6 people left watching.
At least.
Why don't you just throw in what episodes you'd prefer into the chat, and we'll pick one from one of that.
Okay.
For our second drinking game commentary. And that'll be fun. Okay, let's see here. Anything else here? Let's see here. We'll go ahead and get into listener feedback. Now, when you're done watching the big double episode next week, I obviously you've already left a voicemail for our 100th episode that we discussed earlier, and we'll put out a blog post about later in the week. But we want to hear your reactions about the episode, too. So you can run to your computer, email us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, tweet us at GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, and the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And as usual, we got a couple of voicemails today, starting with Bobby.
Bobby!
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie, it's Bobby. Once again, this episode had a few good, if not great, moments, but for the most part, just kind of felt disjointed and out of place as a whole. It was weird to see the way Snow in particular was acting towards Emma. That just seemed out of place. While it was cool to finally get some of the other, like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and whatnot, back into town, it was weird to just have Aurora there, or Sleeping Beauty, Aurora there. because it just felt like we missed something. And they just explained it away by saying, oh, she's new in town. Those things aside, I really enjoyed the subtle way of bringing the Duke of Weselton into this episode. I didn't even realize it was him until like the last part, you know, when the Snow Queen froze him. I didn't, or you know, tried to attempt it, you know, that scene. I didn't even realize that was him. But upon second viewing, when you see them dancing, you could almost see him doing that whole weird dance that he was doing in the movie. I thought it was a great nod and a subtle nod that didn't have to hit us over the head. So, once again, I thought it was an okay episode, but I thought it had some great moments. So, until next week, like a chicken with the face of a monkey, I fly!
I didn't listen to this at all because it came in right before we did this. That's amazing, Bobby. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Okay, and here we have another voicemail from Other Anne-Marie. Take it away, Other Anne-Marie.
Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. It's Other Anne-Marie calling for greetings from Storybrooke. Just giving you the thoughts for today. I thought this was one of the better episodes of the season, mainly because of the bonding between Robin and Will and Robin and Regina. I'm really happy to see these minor characters coming into play a bit more. I can't believe, however, how easily Emma was swayed after such a lifetime search for her family. Last thought for today, shouldn't Ashley's baby be a bit older? Can't wait to hear your thoughts about the episode. Out of 10 frozen snow globes, I give it 8. Bye.
Excellent. Thank you, Other Anne-Marie.
Woohoo.
Yeah, and the baby should have been a...
Yeah, the baby should not have been that old.
We were thinking, at least like a year and a half old or something like that. At least. Okay, yeah, and thank you both of you for your voicemails. I just want to say, too, my mind wandered back to it with Bobby's voicemail. I realized because he left like a minute and a half voicemail, he had to have that in the back of his head probably the entire minute and a half.
He knew it was coming, and he was like ready for it.
Yeah, and he almost stumbled there right at the end. And they landed it. It was great. Okay, here. We have a few quick bits here. You can always go to our website at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com to read the letters that didn't make the cut this week for time or whatever. We're already running really late,
yes,
actually. But we'll go ahead and get the quick bits here. You can read the full letters over on the site. Chris said he thinks Regina's actions in this episode were at an almost snow level of goodness. Still lobbed it there at the end a little bit, yes. Maybe.
Holly wrote that she's curious about what the Snow Queen whispered into Gold's ear. I know your balefire.
And Alina shared her desire to see a non-magical villain. And you might be in luck our news story a couple bits back. Okay, and Chris Tipton, he wrote in a more of a bigger feedback, which you can read over on the site. But he also had his prediction for what the Snow Queen whispered. He says, I've been racking my brain all morning, and I've finally come up with something on what Ingrid whispered to Rumpel. What if Rumpel has to find the actual source who is the real owner of the hat and kill him? Rumpel may or may not already know who the sorcerer is. Once the original owner is dead, Rumpel can have full ownership and full control of its power. That's my pet theory, and I'm sticking to it.
I like it, Chris.
Yeah, I actually like it because it works a lot like the dagger, and we know that the dark ones have always been after the hat, so
that would
it might
really
be the same kind of source of magic. It might be, if there's a yin and yang, maybe the yang's the dagger and the yin's the hat, you know?
Yeah. Okay, next is from Cliva.
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 There's even a pronunciation.
I know, that's why I'm really not good with it. Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. Great podcast. Keep it up for sure. I actually started listening to you guys through your Legends of Gotham podcast, which I'm also liking. Thank you.
I think the first one coming back from Legends of Gotham. Cool. So.
I just finished watching seasons 1 through 3 on Netflix, and I'm now working on season 4. I really like the show, and maybe because I watched so many episodes in a row, I am finding both Charming and Snow White's characters becoming less and less interesting. They are always on screen, and they don't do much anymore, in my opinion. I also would like to see more different characters come back, if only for minor interactions like Red and the giant from the Beanstalk. True dat. I really enjoy watching Regina and her storylines. Definitely my favorite character. Anyway, I don't want to take too much of your time. So again, great podcast. Greetings from Storybook and Legends of Gotham, and keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Cliva.
Thank you, Cliva.
And here, I'll wrap it up with a letter from Elizabeth P. Yeah, I got it. Hello, Bill and Anne-Marie. How are my favorite podcasters doing? Okay.
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Wow, what an episode. I really love the Snow Queen's backstory. It was very nice. It is so sad what happened to her sister. It was an accident. The same accident and mistake that Elsa made in Frozen. History certainly does not repeat itself. I wish that Snow hadn't reacted with fear. Instead of giving baby brother Neil to his big sister Emma, she recoiled. That wasn't nice. However, my mom said that Snow's reaction to David getting hurt was the same reaction any parent would have. Thoughts on that?
No.
Well,
she scolded her. There's a difference. It could have been Emma, not Emma. Like, yeah, there was an inflection.
Yeah, and especially considering that they didn't meet each other until they were adults, too. Like,
yeah, she never.
It made it seem a little weird.
Yeah.
A little weird for.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. I like the episode so much, I'm going to watch it again right now, and it's the first episode since The Apprentice that I've wanted to rewatch. Have a good night, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. I give this episode 98 shiny yellow ribbons out of 105 shiny yellow ribbons.
Nice.
Bye. Thank you, Elizabeth, very much. And like I said, next week, once you're done watching the big two-part Smash the Mirror, run to your computer, smash a mirror on your way.
Don't smash a mirror. That's 7 years bad luck.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's actually 7 years good luck. They're just the man's just trying to trick you.
Ah, the man.
You got to wear the tinfoil on your hat. Greetings from Storybrooke at gmail.com is the email. Twitter is @GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And you can find the show notes and everything for this episode at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Now, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter @AMDCimon or @CCHC blog, where I do a lot of recipes, do-it-yourself, reviews, etc., etc.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter @BillMeeks. You can follow me on Google+, where we do these podcasts live. At google.com/plusBillMeeks. And you can pre-order my new book, Dog Boy, Eye of the Scarab, at dogboyadventures.com. And just click on Eye of the Scarab right there on the front page. Okay, well, I guess that's about it. Very long show tonight.
Very
maybe the longest
show, yes.
We've ever done. Maybe ever.
Maybe.
But it was a good time, so it was worth it.
Exactly.
A little awkward there in the middle.
I like it.
But it turned out. Okay, until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke.